Well, good morning, church. Let's take our seats. Take our seats and then take out our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 9 as we continue our What's Going On series here. We're in chapter 9 as we go verse by verse through the book of Revelation. The title of the message today is Trumpets of Terror, Part 2. Trumpets of Terror, Part 2. Book of Revelation is not for light bedtime reading, especially where we're at right now, as you will see. Revelation 9. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we come to You today and we thank You for this place. Oh Lord, I thank You for these people as we have gathered as Your family, Your children, Lord, with a heart and a desire to hear from You. Lord, for the purpose of applying these things to our hearts and our lives, and only Your Spirit can do that. And so, Lord, for that reason, I ask You, Lord, for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit today in our midst, that, God, You might speak to us through Your Word, that You might teach us as He is the teacher, and, God, that You might convict those, Lord, who don't know You, and show them, Lord, Your love and God, draw them by Your Spirit to Yourself, that they might see their need, Lord, for a Savior. And so, God, I pray that You would bless this time now. Just guide us again by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everything that we see going on today in the world, everything that we see going on in our country, everything that we see going on in our cities and communities and in our homes, by way of confusion, by way of division and contention and turmoil, is all a result of a battle that's going on in the invisible, a battle that is spiritual. You see, there is a war going on. And the war that's going on among men is resulting from the war that's going on in heavenly places. You see, in the spiritual realm. Which explains why you and I, well, life isn't easy. Have you noticed? Getting along with one another is not just a problem with the kids. The parents struggle as well. It's not just a problem in the home. It's a problem in the workplace. And what we're seeing going on in our country by way of divisiveness growing. Have you ever noticed that divisiveness is growing to the degree that we are forsaking the One who made this country great, Jesus Christ? He's the one. It's not democracy. We tried that. You see, President Bush, God bless him, thought if he just freed the people there in Iran and give them democracy and the freedom to choose, that things would go well and it would fix the ills. Well, guess what we found out? People, democracy is not what made us great. Democracy is not what frees men. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Son of God, His name, Jesus Christ. There is no freedom without Him. So we have a war going on. It's been going on for centuries. It's beyond politics and their policies, and it's beyond just the social or cultural things. All the things that are going on by way of terrorism and poverty and drugs and pornography, it's a spiritual battle, and we are being attacked. Satan and his demons are constantly at work, tempting and attacking us as humans. And that has been happening ever since the stealth attack in the Garden of Eden eons ago. And that attacking will continue until someday Jesus returns to planet Earth and sets up His kingdom, until someday we are raptured out of here and go home to be with Him. You see, this war that is going on, can I suggest to you that things are not going to get easier and things are not going to get better on planet Earth until Jesus comes back? Because we have an enemy that's determined to drive a wedge between man and God. And here in our text this morning in Revelation chapter 9, what we are going to see unfold, what we have been seeing is what's going on planet Earth during the time of the tribulation period, a time when the church, I believe, is raptured and taken into heaven, and then God dealing with the nation of Israel again, who, by the way, as I've said previously, God, in a miraculous way, has fulfilled prophecy when He brought them back and established them as a nation in 1948. And as prophesied, the Bible says in the last days that the Israel would be surrounded on every side by enemies who are out to destroy her. We see that very situation. In fact, the battle heated up a bit in the last couple of days. They were shooting, rockets and firing bombs and dropping bombs because of constant attack, you see, that is going on. Satan wants to destroy Jerusalem. He hates Jerusalem. Why does he hate Israel and Jerusalem so bad? Because he knows that in the future, according to the Bible, that one day Jesus will descend from heaven, coming back with us as His church. He will put His foot on the Mount of Olives. It will cleave in two, and He will set up and He will rule and reign the entire planet from Jerusalem. Why are the enemies surrounding Jerusalem and want to destroy Jerusalem? Because they hate that idea. I don't know if you know this or not, but Satan hates you. He despises you coming here today and sitting in these pews and singing praises to God. Oh, that bugs him. And he despises every time you pray, every time you talk about Jesus, any time you do things to bring glory to Him, anything. He hates that you have God's love letter opened in your lap today or on your phone or your tablet and you're reading the Word of God. He hates what I'm doing here. So don't think that we are on a playground as Christians. We are on a battleground. And here John is seeing as God is getting the earth ready. We have seen it in when it started back in chapter 6 when Jesus steps forward, the scene in heaven, and takes the title deed of the earth that was forfeited through sin because God gave dominion over the earth to Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. But when they disobeyed God and rebelled against Him and ate of the fruit that was forbidden, then they took the title deed of the earth and they gave it over to Satan. And he is the prince, Jesus fittingly calls Him the prince and the power of the air. And there was no argument when Satan says, hey, if you bow down and worship me, Jesus, when he was tempting Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Jesus did not contend and say, they're not yours to give. In fact, he did have the title deed of the earth, but Jesus died on the cross. You see, and there on the cross, paying the sin debt for your sin, for my sin. He purchased the field to take the treasure out of it, which is you and me, those that would believe His church. And He paid the purchase price, buying that title deed back. It is handed to Him in heaven there, as we saw in chapter 6. And then He begins to unseal that document. And as He unseals it, there are seven seals. And we have seen that with the breaking of each seal earlier, as we've been here studying this book, we have seen that as a result, with each seal breaking, judgment and evil is being dealt with on the earth. The Lord here, during this tribulation period, getting the earth ready for His possession. He has held the title deed, but He has been waiting for you, maybe some of you today, to finally come to Christ before He comes back and takes control. And what we see is the process now of Jesus dealing with an answer to the prayers. Hey, what about all the things that are wrong with planet Earth and all the people that get away with evil and all this perversion? Why doesn't God do something? He's waiting patiently in love for some to come to Him, and then He will deal with the evil and the evil people. And that's what is happening here as we are studying this section of the book of Revelation. It's talking about the tribulation where God now is purging the evil, and what is happening here is coming from His hand. Even the attacks of the enemy, He is using to accomplish His purpose to get the earth ready for His return. And so that's what's happening here in chapter 9. We've seen the devastating seal judgments. When He got to the seventh seal last time together, He opened up the seventh seal of that title deed to the earth. And then that brought about the trumpet judgments. And each series of judgments increases in frequency and intensity as the earth is being prepared and purged from the wickedness and the evil. And we have examined the first four trumpet judgments that came out of the seven seals, and we have three remaining when it comes to the trumpet judgments. Those three remaining are very serious judgments. How do I know that? Well, because we read in chapter 8 where we left off last time together, and I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Today we are going to look at those three trumpet judgments. And note, woe, woe, woe. In other words, pay attention. These judgments, you think what's happened so far is radical? It ain't nothing compared to what is going to happen with the next three. You see, because what we have seen previously, last time together, by way of trumpet judgments, we saw that the earth was impacted and all the green plants were impacted. We saw, and so the vegans, you remember I said the vegans are going to be upset because all the plants and vegetables will be messed up. And then we saw a star fall, or a meteorite fall into the sea, come into the sea, and of course a third of all the fish and everything was wiped out. So the sushi lovers were going to be upset. You remember? Well, today, this trumpet judgment here is going to deal with the people who are the EPA as far as the air goes, the smog people. They're not going to be happy with this judgment. You see, if you don't like smog, this is not going to be a sweet thing for you. Because here in chapter 9, we read, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like a great furnace, like the smoke rather of a great furnace. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So there it is. Air pollution. On a radical, extreme level. What we are going to see here is that hell is going to have a holiday here, as they are, the earth is going to be impacted by demons. You see, now I've told you I interpret the book of Revelation literally, right? And I do. Unless the indication is it's a symbol, right? So here's the deal. What we have here before us, it says here, in case you didn't notice, that in this fifth angel, this star fallen from heaven to the earth, it says to him. Guess what? That's a symbol. What we're looking at now is symbolic. Because obviously, we know a star, like a regular star, like a meteorite or something, a falling from heaven, would not be a him. We don't have sex as far as the stars and stuff go. So this star that is being spoken of here is a symbol of him. Now, who is him? It doesn't, in other words, refer to a literal star, but to a person. And I believe this star is either Satan himself or one of the hierarchy of his demonic beings. I want you to note, in the King James Version, it puts us this way, "And when the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven." In the New American Standard, it says, "I saw a star which had fallen from heaven," as does the New King James. And I call that to your attention because, you see, Satan has already fallen. So this is not like his first rodeo here, you see. This is a picture, I believe, of the enemy himself. John sees the enemy, and this star that has fallen has something in his hand. What is it? It says here he has the key to the bottomless pit, or the key to the abyss. Now what we're going to see is that the abyss here that is spoken of is a place where Satan himself will eventually be confined during the millennial reign when Christ returns with the church, sets up his kingdom on earth after this 7 years of tribulation. Satan will be bound and he will be cast into the abyss, into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There are in this bottomless pit, as we will see, this bottomless pit is a place where certain demons are incarcerated. How do I know that? Well, it says that when he opened this bottomless pit, the smoke arose out of it like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. What is going on here? What is going on is God is letting Satan have a heyday on planet Earth and do what he wants to do. Now note, God limits Satan. God is still in control. In other words, who gave him the key, or who gave him the power to do this? God gave him the power to do this. God also told him what he could do. He says, "Hey, I'm gonna let you have, let you go out into the earth and do some damage. I'm gonna let you do some damage that you wanted to do. I'm gonna let you do what you love to do, which is hurt people. I'm gonna let you do it, but I'm not gonna let you kill them. You're only gonna be able to hurt them." Note, he said that he would not be able to kill them, just hurt them. And you can only do it for 5 months. I'm going to put a time limit on it. And so God is still in control. Again, as I shared last time, the purpose of this teaching, the purpose of what God is doing, is He's still trying to get people's attention in a way that would bring them in to submission. Not just get their attention to consider or look at Him, but to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And He is going to allow the enemy. You remember, demonic activity was prevalent in the day, even when Christ was on planet Earth. He dealt with demon spirits, those who had not yet been cast into the bottomless pit. You remember the man in Gadara there that had demons, and he was possessed by demons called Legion, which meant there were many. This man had many demons, you see. And when they confronted Jesus, or Jesus, I should say, confronted them, they recognized that He was Jesus, and they begged Jesus, you remember, not to send them into the bottomless pit, into this prison, into this abyss here. They said, "We don't want to go there. Let us go into the pigs." You remember that? And of course, Jesus said, "Okay," and they went into the pigs, and then the pigs, just like Satan, he's a destroyer, he's a murderer, he wants to confuse, he wants to inflict pain. And what happens when these pigs are possessed of demons? Well, the demons flee into them and they go over the cliff and they all die. And of course, we all know that when those demons went into the pigs, that was the beginning of what we call deviled ham. Right? You know that. That's where it all began, right there. So a company was established as a result, and we still have it around today. I think. I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe it's gone. But I make light because this is such a heavy section, so a little breather there. But these demons are real. A lot of people don't think demons are real. They don't want to deal with them. They don't want to talk about it. They just think it's a myth and something made up. But we are dealing here. What we are seeing is real demons. And these demons, they are the ones that are captive now in this pit. Remember, the free ones said, "Let us go into the pigs." But these are a different scale and a different class of demon. They are so vile, so perverted, so evil, that they are actually chained and locked in this bottomless pit. And God now says, "Okay, I'm going to let you go free." And Satan is given the key that he's longed to have to free his fiendish friends, and the worst of the fiendish friends, the demons. Freeing them out of the prison. And what happens on planet Earth is horrendous. As hell and demonic forces invade planet Earth to the degree that they haven't previously. And as we read these things, you know what? you're going to understand that these things, God loves you, and these things are written to warn you, to show you that this is not something you want to go through. You don't want to be here. You don't want to have to deal with this during this great tribulation. You see, it's for us as Christians to encourage us to pray for those around us to get the gravity and the weight. And we're in this tribulation period and this destruction for a while. And you're saying, Pastor, it was crazy last week. You mean it's going to get worse? Yeah. Well, can't you just skip over it? I could. But guess what? I don't think that would do justice to what God wants me to do, because He's written every Scripture, every word is His word, and to skip over them is to say there's one more important than another. And I don't think that any word of God is wasted. So for that reason, we need to study every word of God. And so I am going to go verse by verse through this as I have been. And you are going to, by the time we're at the end of the tribulation, you're going to go, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. And hopefully, I don't want anybody that I know to be here. And hopefully, that will motivate us to tell others. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be here when this stuff is going on, man. What is ahead of us when this last three trumpets begin to sound is horrible. You see, this says here that He opens this bottomless pit and these demonic beings come out. It says then out of the smoke in verse 3, locusts came upon the earth. And it says, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth. First of all, I want you to note, I'm going to give you 11 things to note about these guys. These beings, whatever they are. It is symbolic. And again, you'll see the word like or as it were, that phrase used. In other words, these are symbols, you see. And we see first they are infernal. These demons are described as locusts. Locusts out of hell, if you would, right fresh out of the pit of hell. And these are not your Jiminy Cricket type, you know, insects. These are a whole category up. And John uses the word locusts for a reason. Locusts are, not only are these infernal, but secondly, they are insatiable. They are commanded to go through the earth, and they are not to hurt. Unlike regular locusts, your, you know, generic locust category on planet Earth, that go out and consume mass quantities of greenery, these locusts go out and consume with the same kind of passion and in the same way, again, using the picture of locusts coming out. These go throughout the earth and they're not seeking out greenery. They're seeking out men and women and children to do damage, you see. So you get the picture of locusts. Now, have you ever seen what locusts do and how locusts deal with things? Have you ever, we hear about the plague of locusts and we think, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Well, it has happened, and as recently as 2016, it has happened. And you know what? When John uses the symbolism here of locusts and he likens these demon beings coming out as locusts, we need to get a real picture of what that's like. And so for that reason, guess what? For those of you that are locust ignorant, guess what? You're going to get informed. Go ahead. I want you to watch this with this idea of locusts coming out of this pit in mind. Go ahead, roll the screens. This is pretty intense stuff. Is there sound? There we go.
There is no other species on the planet that responds as quickly and as dramatically to the good times as the desert locust. Eggs that have remained in the ground for 20 years begin to hatch. The young locusts are known as hoppers, for at this stage they're flightless. They find new feeding grounds by following the smell of sprouting grass. Normally, it takes 4 weeks for hoppers to become adults. But when the conditions are right, as now, their development switches to the fast track. As the vegetation in one place begins to run out, the winged adults release pheromones, scent messages, which tell others in the group that they must move on. And when groups merge, they form a swarm. Locust eats its entire body weight every day, and the whole swarm can consume literally hundreds of tons of vegetation. They have to keep on moving. The swarm travels with the wind. It's the most energy-saving way of flying. Following the flow of wind means that they're always heading toward areas of low pressure. Places where wind meets rain and vegetation starts to grow. As they fly, swarms join up with other swarms to form gigantic plagues several billion strong and as much as 40 miles wide. They will consume every edible thing that lies in their path. This is one of planet Earth's greatest spectacles. It's rarely seen on this scale, and it won't last long. Once the food has gone, the steady roar of a billion beating locust wings will once again be replaced by...
Anyhow, let's stop there. But you get an idea of what that is like. I mean, how would you like to be standing in the middle of that, or anywhere around that, or a fall down on the ground running from them. But here's the thing about these. They are insatiable. These animals, it says, they will move, keep moving ahead and keep consuming. Here's what's going to happen during the tribulation period as these demonic locusts come out. They're characterized like that because they will be out to hurt men, you see here. They will not... feast on green things like those and consume their body weight. They will be out biting and stinging and pursuing after men and women and children on planet Earth. These demonic locusts are released. They are also intolerable. They're infernal. They're insatiable. They're intolerable. It says there in verse 5, and it says to them, and they were not given authority to kill these men and women, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. These demonic beings, whatever they are, like locusts, will come out and like smoke, just fill the air and they'll be out going after men and they will inflict men and hurt men. And again, as I've already said, that's what the enemy loves to do. He loves to torment people. He's the ultimate terrorist. Satan loves to see people suffer because he's a liar and a murderer and a deceiver, and they are going to attack mankind, these beings, during the tribulation period. And it says they will be inflicting the kind of pain like a scorpion sting. Now, scorpions in the natural realm are not always lethal, but they can be to small children and elderly people. They have been known, people have been known to die, even in rare instances, adults have died. But here's the key, the scorpions that are being spoken of here, as John is seeing this vision, are those that the pain is incredible. And I don't know, you can go ahead and write this down. If you can remember it, go ahead and remember it. Go ahead and Google the Arizona bark scorpion. Arizona bark scorpion. His habitat is not far away from us. He is in the southeastern, extreme southeastern California, New Mexico, Arizona. Very common there. This scorpion, when it stings you, as I've said, can be lethal to children and elderly people, but that's not the primary problem with this scorpion. This scorpion, when he stings you, writhe on the ground, it says. People foam at the mouth and they grind their teeth in agony. In fact, some people that get bit by this scorpion or get stung by the scorpion, I should say, people think and mistake it that they're having an epileptic convulsion or some kind of a seizure because of the extreme pain of this scorpion sting. And I don't know if you have friends in Arizona that know about this scorpion, but just for your future safety, if you're ever traveling in those areas, if it is kind of a light color and no real stripes or anything on it, that could be it. They're small. They're kind of a flesh-toned scorpion. And man, their bite is one of the most painful bites of any scorpion or any animal even that exists. It's in the top 10. Bites when it comes to pain. And so that's what's going to be happening in the tribulation. These scorpions, or these locusts, I should say, like beings, these demon-possessed beings are out, and they're out to hurt you. They want to hurt you. Again, Satan unleashing, he is enjoying and relishing this because he gets to take out, you know, and do what he desires to do. He wants to kill, but he'll settle for hurting for a season. But note again, God's in control because he only allows it for a certain time, and he can't kill them. Although it says here that as a result of the pain and what's going on planet Earth, that men will seek death. They'll want to die, but they'll not be able to die. They'll desire to die, but death shall flee from them, verse 6 says. Can you imagine that? I mean, being in so much pain that you want to die. I remember once having a kidney stone. And I think it was the second one I had. And supposedly they blew it up and it was not going to cause me any more pain. But then when they put you under anesthetic to blow it up, well, I thought I was doing pretty good. When I came out, I'm going, I'm feeling pretty good, man. Everything's going well. Until the anesthetic wore off. And I remember being in fetal position, laying on the floor, on the carpet, in front of my dresser, saying, God, either take me home, kill me, or get this pain. But I just want to die. Just take me home. I remember being in such pain that while I was waiting, I went to the ER to say, I need some drugs. I need something. I need some Demerol. Demerol's good stuff, by the way. I mean, if you're in pain, I don't know what it is, but I know this. When you're in pain, man, it's good stuff. But I was in so much pain. They go, well, we got to contact your doctor. And I'm going in to throw up from the pain while I'm waiting for them to contact the doctor. And finally, I got the Demerol, and finally I was able to sleep. But the pain from these scorpions is intense. So intense that these people will want to die but won't be able to die. These demon beings are irresistible. It says here that the shapes of these locusts were like horses prepared to battle here, for battle. When we think of horses, again, this is symbolized, there's symbolism used here because it says the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. He's not talking literal horses prepared for battle, but they were like horses. They're safe. In other words, these horses, like horses prepared to battle, were moving forward. Man, they were making progress. A horse that's prepared for battle, he knows he's not afraid to charge ahead. You see, these locusts were prepared. They were making progress. They were irresistible. They were formidable. They're also invincible. You see, in verse 7 it says, on their heads were crowns like gold. Now, what does that mean? It means that Satan and his cohorts, his demonic buddies, are in control. They're ruling, if you would, for a while. The devil is on the throne. He's got the key and he's doing what he wants to do. He's always wanted to wear the crown. And there have been so many people who would like him to have the crown. In fact, many today don't want God in their life. They don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They want to do their own thing. They want to rule, their own life. And they don't want anybody telling them what to do. Well, guess what? This is going to be the case with these demons. They are going to not have anybody telling them what to do. They're going to be able to do what they want to do. And they're wearing the crown. And woe be to those. That's why the three woes pronounced earlier. This is the first woe. Woe to those that are on the earth. This is not going to be a fun time. Note these beings, whatever they are intelligent as well. They're insatiable, intolerable, irresistible, invincible, and intelligent. How do I know that? Because there in verse 7, it says that on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like, again, symbolism, they were like faces of men. Now, what does that speak of? Well, in the Bible, typology, in prophecy, the face of a man speaks symbolically of intelligence. These, again, are no ordinary locusts. They have a very cunning plan and they are very organized. You see, the Bible talks about demons having being in positions and in rank and in files, principalities and powers. You see, they have rankings and the devil has wiles. It talks about the scripture, the wiles of the devil. He has plans of attack for you and for me. He's always looking for a weak spot. And he's more subtle than any beast of the field. He has this intelligence. He's subtle, you see. And these demon spirits follow him. The devil has always lifted up human wisdom. In fact, the enemy's constantly telling you, hey, you know what? You're smart enough. You don't need God. You're powerful enough. You're rational enough. You can fix it. You can do it on your own. You can live life on your own. You can change whatever you want to change when you change. You're not stuck in anything. Guess what? That's the lie of the enemy from the pit of hell. He always, the devil, appeals to our reason rather than the revelation of God. The devil's appeal is always to the head and logic alone and not to the heart. And because of this, men are going to receive the judgment of God. Now listen, I'm not against being intelligent. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against studying and going to college and earning a degree and in any way putting aside the effort, you see, that it takes to do that and the discipline and commending those that arise to that place. But, let me just say this. I'd rather, if I had to listen to somebody, I'd rather listen to a fool preach the Bible than some pseudo-intellect preach, you know, about, you know, his foolishness. I don't want to hear the expounding of man's philosophies and ways because, guess what? They aren't the way to have life. They aren't the path to freedom. They are the path to bondage. We need to take all the intelligence and all the learning that we have, and we need to run it through the filter of God's Word because the enemy is a liar. And the enemy does tell us, you can do it yourself. and He magnifies and puts on a pedestal human wisdom. And you know what? We are probably the most educated in the most educated time in all the world's history as far as education and understanding everything around us increasingly in the medical field, the astronomy field, and the technology field. We have more knowledge than we've ever had in the history of man. And yet, what are we doing with it? Is it fixing the problems? No. What do we see? Peace breaking out all over as a result of education? No. What we see is men bickering and fighting. And you see, men do not have the wisdom that they need. God alone supplies the wisdom that we need to take our intelligence and do the right thing. If we're going to have that occur, that comes as a result of submission to the Word of God and to the will of God. And so we see these have faces of men speaking of intelligence. They have hair like a woman's hair. Now, in the Scriptures, what's a woman's hair? What does it speak of? A woman's hair is her what? Glory. That's right. You guys know your Bible's good for you. It's her glory. What's it talking about when these demonic creatures have a woman's hair? What God is saying here is these demon spirits are going to appear to some at first to be very attractive, to be very beautiful and alluring. That's the idea and the symbolism of having hair like a woman. And these are going to be seducing demons. Guys, those of you who are single, if you're looking for a woman, you better look beyond the mascara and the makeup. Ladies, you better look beyond the muscles and that nice strong jawline and that tan that you like. You better look and ask God to show you the hearts. Because they had hair of women, beautiful, alluring. But guess what? It says here, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. These demons, even though they seem attractive at first, even though they are alluring, they bite. And the bite, well, the bite of a lion isn't a pretty picture. Google that. There's like one guy that's got a lion bite that he has, and it's just his hand is all torn up. I mean, it's brutal. You don't want to play around with these. In fact, you don't want to be here because these demonic beings, whatever they are ready to shred and devour those that come against them and inflict again pain, not death because they can't, but intense pain. And know this, they're insensitive. They're insensitive. How do I know that? Well, verse 9 goes on to say that they have breastplates like breastplates of iron. What that means, man, these are hard. These are people. These are not a people. These are a beast or a being, whatever this is, an insect, whatever it may be, that is heartless. They don't care how much people moan and groan in pain. It doesn't matter how great the torment and the shrieking. They will not be moved. Their hearts are hard. They are impervious to what men will do. It doesn't matter what doctors may do or psychologists may try or what the army or the police officer will do. There's no way to harm these demon spirits. They are cruel. They are immovable. We also see that they are inescapable. They're inescapable. It says here in verse 9, it says that their sound of their wings there towards the end was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They're everywhere. There will be no escape. They're fluttering and flying all over the place and no one is going to be able to outrun them. There will be no place to hide. Very similar to what you saw in that video. They are inescapable. And they will only be stopped because God, at the time where God says after 5 months, they will only hurt people for 5 months. Which, by the way, is the lifespan of the locust. That's what God is saying. The day will come, they will not be stoppable until God is finished. And then they are injurious. Insidious, insensitive, inescapable, and injurious. It says in verse 10 there, it says that they had tails like scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their power was to hurt for 5 months. Again, the devil is no friend. It's amazing how sometimes we'll serve the one who hurts us. You know, I mean, you hear of sometimes women, they marry a guy that abuses them, and then they divorce him, and then they marry another guy that abuses them, and they allow that kind of thing to go on. Why? Here's what we'll see. These people, these demons come against them, but they, even though they know that this is a result of the wrath of God, and this is a satanic, a demonic forces that are being used, and yet they will not repent, as we will see next time together. They won't give up. They won't turn to God. They hurt men over and over, and yet that pain does not bring them to Jesus Christ, which is amazing to me when they know what's going on. And then they're indivisible. It says here, and they had a king, verse 11, and they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. What does this mean? Well, a very wise man said in Proverbs chapter 30, his name Solomon, that the locusts have no king. And we saw that in the video. That was referred to. They respond as they're kind of driven with the wind, and they kind of gather into groups, and they kind of go because of the interferon that is emitted by each one. They have no real leader. They just kind of swarm together. These demons, however, these locusts are different in that they do have a king. That name of the king gives us some insight. His name means a destroyer. Abaddon or Apollyon means destroyer. The Bible again says there are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and ranking demons. Here these demons have somebody who is out to destroy. And you know what the amazing thing? He makes no bones about it. Apollyon. Abaddon. He's out to destroy your life. And they are together, these demonic forces, for that very purpose. They are united together, all determined to destroy and to wipe out, to hurt men and women and children. What a horrible time this is going to be. And listen, we ain't seen nothing yet. They're saying, Pastor, how can it get any worse? Come next week. And the next. And the next. Pastor, why are you going over that? Again, it's God's Word. God wrote this so we could feel the terror, so we could experience the weight of the kind of things that are going to be going on planet Earth. And hopefully, go, you know what? I don't want to be here. What do I need to do? You need to come to Jesus. That you might have your sin forgiven. That you might have the hope of heaven. You know what? Imagine this, if you would. And I'll close with this illustration. Say Trump got on TV this evening. And he said, at midnight tonight, in this country, all across this country, all the prisons are going to be opened, and everyone that is in prison convicted of rape, murder, convicted of something like the guy yesterday who shot his grandmother, killed his grandmother, there down in L.A., took a hostage, his sister, then was out. And just this murderous guy, people that have tormented people and that kind of a thing, and molested children. Guess what? We're emptying all the prisons out at midnight tonight. And everybody will be set free. And no policeman will be there to stop them from doing whatever they want to do. How would you sleep tonight? I mean, it'd freak you out, right? I mean, no, that can't happen. Listen, that would be a walk in the park compared to what's going to happen here. God, in His love, says, listen, I don't want you to be here. I want you to hear and pay attention. We're talking about not humans here. We're talking about superhumans. It's no wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, there will be tribulation such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Listen, there is a way out today. And as Christians, we need to get that message out. You need Jesus. I pray that this would motivate us to share with our neighbors, our loved ones, our family, to encourage them to come to Christ. And they'd ignite in us a heart that cares, because you don't want to see anybody here in that place. You don't want to see anybody that you know experience this. They can come to Christ today. And if you haven't come to Christ today and this freaks you out, and you're going, I want out of here, man. This is freaky stuff this guy's talking about. This stuff is real. Demons are real. Satan is real. Evil is real. Look at the kind of crimes that are going on. Evil is real. There are evil men who go in and shoot up kids and kill them in a classroom at school, just out of nowhere, randomly, just murderous. That is demonic stuff. And the Bible says that as we get to the end times, they are going to be demonically charged, satanically charged times. We are just beginning to see the level of demonic crime and perversion that is going to be done. Presently we're beginning to see some of that. Jesus said these are the beginning of the sorrows. In the tribulation, without the church, it's going to go into high gear. You don't want to be here. Okay, Pastor, so how do I get out? Get right. How do I get right? Come to Christ. Give your life to Him. How do I do that? First of all, confess you're a sinner. Second of all, be willing to turn from that sin and ask Jesus Christ to come in and take control of your life. And you know what? It's an inside job. He does it. He changes you not outside. He changes your heart. And the outside follows, but it starts in the heart. You see, you need to put your faith not in yourself or in man or in His wisdom. You need to put your faith in Jesus. And today, if you haven't done that, don't walk out of here in the same way you came in. Walk out of here with your sins forgiven, a new man, a new woman, with the power of God to change your life. You see, He'll come and live in you and work on the inside. God will give you the power to be and do what you never were able to do, who you never were able to be, through a relationship with Him. Today, if you are not sure your sin is forgiven, if you don't know that you have the hope of heaven, come today to Christ. Don't walk out of these doors without Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. As always, we thank You for the work of Your Spirit to minister to our hearts. And now, Lord, I pray these things that we have heard, Lord, as believers, that it would motivate us, that You would ignite a passion in our hearts for those around us who don't know You, that we would care. And like You, You warn us with these words, because You love us. May we love people enough to warn them, to live before them the love and the life that You've called us to as Christians. May we have an impact and make a difference. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know You, that they might come today and give their lives to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.